Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another show of Pre-Match
Mooty.
That's the one, gentlemen. Yeah, that's the one. To everyone joining us tonight for the first time, a thank you and a welcome. If you're joining us for the second time, you know, that's appreciated. But if you've subscribed and you've liked and you're going to comment throughout the show, then you know you're part of the family. But in the top right corner, we've got Wonga Denga, the Denga Naker, a.k.a. Sela, what was he called on Tuesday?
The Denga Naker.
No, he was called Wonga Shaka on Tuesday.
Oh, Wonga Shaka.
And then we got at the bottom, we've got the man, co-host down there, Selo Lolo Kale, a.k.a. Captain Selo Maguire. And then, of course, at the bottom there, the King of the North. Thank you for joining us, Nick. You've been sparse of late, but thank you for showing up today.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, apologies. It's been hectic, obviously, with XP Arena starting. I'm on a work trip now in Cape Town. So, yeah, testing out the Wi-Fi here in the hotel. So, yeah, it's good to be back on. My team got a win last week, Friday. I wasn't able to talk about that. But, yeah, I'm happy.
Wonga, do you think that was a subtle flex there? Yeah, I'm traveling for work, you know.
Yeah.
What's happening? Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you traveling? What are you doing?
Yeah, so under 19 boys for the University of Pretoria, playing in a big tournament called the Bay Hill Premier Cup, which is a long-standing tournament. I think 32 years of youth football under 19. Yeah, very competitive. So yeah, the likes of Cape Town City, the former Ajax, which is Cape Town Spurs, Stellenbosch. You know, Tucks themselves all competing, so it will be exciting to see where we finish. I coached the team last, and we got to a semi-final, very close. But yeah, let's see if we can go one better this time.
That's good. All the best to the lads.
Yeah, I'll let them know. I've just fed them dinner, so let's go and sleep, relax, and then we come back tomorrow and get 3 points.
What did you feed them, Nick? Did you give them something nice?
No, something Portuguese, man. Chicken prego here. It was quite nice. Quite nice.
Easter weekend. Had a little bite. Easter weekend.
Yeah. Chicken prego on Easter weekend. Yeah.
Actually, they need to be eating fish for the weekend, Nick.
I don't get the joke. Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to actually learn my religious stuff there. Yeah, no. So that's gave them chicken. Chicken with footballers. Listen, guys. Chicken with footballers. There's never enough. So, yeah, whenever there's a choice between beef and chicken, they choose chicken. So,
there we go. That's in case anyone was wondering what to give footballers. Wonga Denga, that's what you can tell your fresh legs kids there. Ryan and Louis, thank you for joining us. Also, Louis, you are excited for good reason. And you are here tonight because you're hoping we're going to talk about your team. And we'll see how it goes because, you know, the Liverpool side, Selo, you know how it is. I'm a bit biased. I mean, only slightly. And so you're going to have to be the advocate for Man City this evening, and everyone else is probably going to have to do that. But let's kick it off. We've got the introductions out of the way. First game, before we talk about what happened in the Champions League, tonight's game is a big one for a certain team in London. Some say it's even the best team in London at the moment.
West Ham.
But West Ham versus Lyon for Europa.
Yeah.
I mean, gents, what are we expecting?
Look at Wonga's reaction. Wonga's reaction is like,
he's disappointed, but it's true. It's true. It's not.
The first leg was 1-1, right?
Yep, 1-1, and they're now playing in France. I mean, they've got a potential. Is this? I think it's the quarterfinals. They've got potential to make it to the semis. That's big for West Ham. I don't know what everyone's thoughts are around this.
And potentially play Barcelona if Barcelona beat Eintracht Frankfurt, which is they're really getting excited about that. I saw Rich posting about it earlier on today. He's excited. He's talking about. He's hyping it up. He says whatever happens tonight, it's an amazing journey for them, getting to the quarterfinals of a Europa League and potentially getting a Barcelona in the semifinals if both teams make it to the semis, which I think is great for West Ham. That's what a club of West Ham stature needs. You know what I mean? I think we can put the beloved black and white team in that same category and say that's also what they need as well.
Selo, could you imagine telling Nick beginning of the season, you know, they're going to play Barcelona potentially in Europa? You would take it, right? You would take it
immediately. He would give me his last cents for that matchup, and he would be flying to Barcelona to watch the game. You know what I mean? I think or St. James's, probably because he wants the atmosphere, you know. But yeah, guys, I think it's amazing for West Ham, and all the best to them, man. I think it's but also Leon are doing quite poorly in League One, so I think this is probably the route they will try and get into the Champions League, because I think they're ninth in League One, and obviously if they win, they would get into Champions League. Just how Villarreal got into the Champions League, and look at how Villarreal are doing well. So I think this is a route that Leon will try to take it to the Champions League.
Yeah, agreed. Wonga Denga, anything you want to add before we move on to the actual Champions League, and then Nick?
Nah, I mean, I think, yeah, like Seda said, I don't think I can add anything to it. If they lose or win, nothing, doesn't matter.
Okay, move along swiftly. He doesn't care because he's a team actually doing he's a well. Team. Yeah, they're doing well. Team. Nick, what do you think about this?
I think these are the nights, like, I class sort of over the last 10, 15 years, West Ham in the same sort of bracket of, like, as a Newcastle, as a Wolves, sort of teams that have been in the Europa League maybe for a season or two, and they've gone on and had a bit of a run. I think the fans will see this as a great opportunity because they don't come around too often. You know, I think for West Ham, you know, like with a Newcastle probably reinforcing in the next few years, that adds more pressure on them to withstand what they've got at the moment. You know, the same as Wolves, the same as, I mean, Burnley were there for a period. So I think they're just going to enjoy the occasion. The away days are the best days, guys. Like, I've done a lot of football traveling, and, you know, Claudio, you can attest to it. The away days are where it's at. You know, you've been to finals. The spectacle of watching your team in a foreign nation, foreign city, I think that's the major plus from a West Ham perspective, and it's an opportunity to potentially get to the next round. You know, if you said West Ham were going to play Barcelona at the beginning of the season, you would have laughed. So they've got a bit of work to do. Leon are no pushovers, so let's see. Exciting times for them, and it might be, you know, this might be their ticket into potentially a Champions League. So who's to say they can't do it? They've got this far. So let's see.
And Antonio says they're ready for it. The train is ready to leave the station. So good luck to all the West Ham fans out there. Now, the next game. Louis, I hope you're still around because it's time we talk about your team. Celo, Atletico Madrid 0, Man City 0. You spoke about the Liverpool-Man City derby lacking a certain edge. Wanga, before the show, literally said Simeone is the character that gets his team to embody him. And we saw an absolute fight. Yeah. And it was even in the tunnel that there was a fight. I mean, what was your takeaway from this game in terms of Man City fans celebrating like it's their greatest ever European victory?
No, it was a tough game, guys. Atletico Madrid deserved to take that game to extra time. I feel that they deserve to actually get that game into extra time. They should have gotten a penalty where Cancelo tripped some guy in the box. I can't believe VAR didn't even have a look at it. I feel that Atletico Madrid left it all on the pitch. They had the perfect tactics. Go into the second leg, only one goal behind. Give yourself a chance to actually get back into the game. They did actually have chances to get back into the game in that second half. And I think they just deserved at least extra time. But yeah, it was quite a dirty affair at the end there. You know what I mean? Grealish's hair being pulled. Felipe getting a red card. Savage as well was just, Savage is just, he's just wild. He's just a wild man. He's a wild man. He's like a Pepe 2.0, literally. And he used to play for Man City. If you guys remember, he used to play for Man City. Yep. And then now he runs to Foden. And I just couldn't understand. I just couldn't understand because Foden actually got kicked at. But interesting game.
Pulled Grealish's hair.
Yeah, I think Man City struggle in games like that. You know, in physical games, I think they do better against teams that actually want to get on the front foot. But Atletico Madrid guys, they always want to fight on the pitch. But yeah, some good performances from them as well in terms of their players. Kondogbia played very well. You know, I think taking off João Felix was, for me, the wrong move. I think they should have kept him on. I know they wanted to add on Cunha and Suarez on the field, but they should have definitely done something in terms of incorporating all of them on the field. And I think they should have started the game with Correa instead of Griezmann, because Correa has been one of their best players this season. But yeah, I like it to Atleti, but yeah, I guess also Man City. We knew. They were the favorites, and yeah, the favorites have prevailed. But Jad, Champions League is tough, guys. There's no therefore in the Champions League, and every team actually has a chance to actually win a particular game. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the semis.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, the atmosphere was phenomenal, as you would expect from an Atletico Madrid side, and the supporters there, and obviously being current La Liga champions. But Nick, in terms of how they set up and how they play, and when you see a player like, or two players rather, in Griezmann and Felix playing for a side like Atletico, do you not think there's more they could do as a team moving forward?
Yeah, I think we had this discussion. I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch the game. I just caught a few of the tweets and one or two highlights, but there's actually highlights on now in my room. But what was quite interesting to hear some of the pundits speak about how they played in the previous game, and that they were, you know, Simeone's, in inverted commas, anti-football. You know, he plays in a certain way. And I disagree. I mean, if it's worked for him, if he's won titles, you know, you'd like to think when they play against the weaker teams in sort of La Liga, they take the games to them, and I'm sure they do.
They do.
Mm-hmm. But if he can't see a way in taking a game to Man City as a valid option, why wouldn't you just stick to what you know and potentially get a result? It nearly worked from the sounds of things, but who am I to argue, and who is anyone else actually to argue with Diego Simeone? Like, he is sort of a version of like a Mourinho type manager, maybe as pragmatic, but he's a serial winner, guys. Like, let's be honest. You know what he's done. Yep. Just going to break the hold of Barca and Real Madrid over the last couple of years at times. And from what I understand, unlucky not to potentially take a game to a semi, to an extra time, where they've got a chance to get into a semi final. So I know what you say, Claudio. With the quality that they have, maybe they should, but it seems like it's working. And, you know, it seems like he's got a group of players there with that will absolutely die for him. And that's all you can ask for as a manager.
Yep, fair enough. I mean, Wonga, from your side, looking at Diego Simeone, you were complaining about that derby, like I've touched the Liverpool-Man City derby. There was a lot of fight there. Would you take a manager like that at Arsenal?
Like Simeone? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you can get us results, to be honest with you. I mean, at the point, I mean, look, like Nick is saying, these guys are in the Champions League. They won the league last season, if I'm not mistaken. They against the other teams, they're not playing the same way. I mean, he's obviously a manager that's playing game per game. You know, it's not like a Liverpool where they've got a set of playing, even a Man City and a Barcelona back in the day, and it was just better than the rest. But he literally has to watch game by game. And like I said before, the fact that he can actually get those players in a day and age, I mean, the way football is today, to play the way they do for him, I think that's very good for a manager, to be honest with you. I don't think it's not an easy job to get players to do exactly what you want them to do. But those players will go out there, they'll come on the pitch and do the job. And I think that's a positive.
The last 15 minutes was all Atletico.
It got intense. Plus they played 10 minutes extra time. It got intense. Plus the police had to step in the tunnel and stop the fights.
But you know, someone was saying, I saw a tweet, guys, this might be funny. Someone said, like, Atletico Madrid can actually play. And then someone quoted that tweet and said, Atletico Madrid is like a guy who intentionally cut the hair bald, but they've got actually a perfect hairline.
That's exactly what it is. That is so true. When you're comparing it like that, that's a great analogy.
Imagine. Then they're posting pictures of Martin Skrtel. That guy's been cutting bald all the time, but he actually can grow his hair.
Gents, when we're looking at this game, and obviously Man City celebrating, it was huge for them. I mean, I think they've made it to the semi-final of Champions League. They finally, I suppose, the further they they continue this, and the more they do this, the more they become entrenched in European sort of history, and they feel like they belong there. But in terms of where they're at right now, Celo, and they're going to take on what do we call them? The owners of the European league. What do we call them?
Most successful.
But it's pretty much theirs. The trophy sits in there.
The kings of Europe.
They're going to be taking them on. How do you think it's going to play out for these two teams?
Yeah, I know it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I think Man City will go into this game as favorites, but as you've seen in the last two rounds for Real Madrid, you can never underestimate Real Madrid, guys. You know,
sure.
a team like PSG should have killed them off in that first leg in Paris, where they only scored one goal. They went to Bernabeu with only one goal and lost the game. You know, Madrid scored three goals at home. Similarly with Chelsea, Madrid sprung a surprise on them at Stamford Bridge. So Man City need to be cautious. Pep, guys, you know what happens with Pep in the Champions League. He can overthink things, the biggest overthinker. And then what happens then as well? You know, obviously we have BMT players like Modric and a Benzema, who at the age of 34 and 36 are playing some amazing football. So I think those players with the experience, and if you get the combinations right for Real Madrid, I think they can actually obviously do damage to Man City.
Yeah, they can do damage. Go ahead, Dwanga.
Yeah, no, I agree, Silo. And I think the biggest fact, the thing that everyone will say Man City will win, but that it's going to sit on the back of everyone's head, is that Madrid can just pop something that no one expects. But I think if you were to say, looking at the two teams and the current form, you're definitely, back a Pep, and Pep has I think if you look at head to head with Real Madrid, I think Pep, I haven't looked at it, but I'm pretty sure Pep has more wins over the Madridistas than they have over him.
So you're saying some previous legacy is going to carry through to his team. That's an interesting one. Nevada, though, saying as much as he hates to say it, Liverpool City final. And Nick, you've already said Liverpool going through to the final. We're gonna speak about their game now. But why do you say this? Why do you think it's such a given for Liverpool to make to the final?
Ah, who's going to stop that front three, bro? Come on. Really? Like Villarreal, they've had a great time. You know, they got to a semi-final, but they're going to... out of all the teams you want in a semi-final, you want Villarreal. The way Liverpool are playing, you want Villarreal.
Good evening. He will be saying
goodbye to the competition when they play.
I can't understand that Wonga backs this manager all the way, but when he was wearing his team's colours, he wasn't backing him one bit.
So weird.
When Unai Emery came, I was okay. I wanted to see, okay, fine. Look, the guy's coming. He's come in. And let's give the guy a chance, obviously. But come on, guys. It was like game after game. The thing is, we're going far away from what we were doing before. And the guys were complaining about a Wenger. Okay, sharp. Now they get an Unai. And things are not looking good, you know. And I mean, when he left and he went to Villarreal, people said he was doing well. Like, he wasn't doing too well with Villarreal as well. He also had a bad slump with them. I think now it was different. I just looked at the players they had, and looking at Bayern Munich, their sort of way they're playing, that's the only reason I thought that Villarreal stood a chance. I thought they were going to get clubbed second leg. They did very well to actually even score against the Bayern, to be honest with you. After conceding, I think they did very well to do that. Big up to them. That's what I'm thinking now. And it's tournament football. Nick's right there, right now. He knows. And no one's worried about what you're doing in the league.
But guys, for me, there's no two better teams in the world than Man City and Liverpool right now.
Look, Vada's saying two best teams on the planet, but I think he has a nice one. Shoro's on the line here also saying, he's like, hey, please always respect Madrid, gents. Never play us down. And that's the thing with them in this tournament.
Yeah, you must respect his team, guys. Guys, it's like Germany in the World Cup, guys. You can't go into a match in Germany in the World Cup and say, no, we're the better team. We'll beat Germany, guys. Germany will drop
exactly.
You. Madrid will show you fires right now and say, guys, we own this competition. We know how to get through it. And also their manager has been very successful in this competition, guys. You must remember that Carlo Ancelotti's got what? Three yes. Champions Leagues, you know, two with AC Milan and one with Real Madrid, you know. So he's been successful in this competition. He's won it as a player, won it as a coach. So he knows how to win this competition, guys. So I think experience does definitely help in such situations.
And the point on Pep Guardiola, though, I think this is now going to be his official, like, 10th semi-final.
Ninth
semi-final. It also shows you how many of those did he actually convert to finals. So the semi-final is no easy. It's something maybe he overthinks personally, but it's not an easy situation to be in. And, yeah, I mean, underestimating, sorry, Real Madrid, I mean, dirt to your own downfall. But here we go. We've got Liverpool, Benfica. And this was an interesting one because Liverpool were cruising. And somehow Benfica came back into it. And obviously, it was always comfortable at the end of the night. The scoreline says something else. But there's a player, gentlemen. There's a player that's being linked with Arsenal, being linked with Newcastle. And if he does not make his way to the Premier League, then I don't know. It's currently, I think it's 31 goals out of 34 games. At Anfield, he scored 3 goals. 2 of them were ruled offside, but he put them in the back of the net, not knowing he's offside. And he did it comfortably. Darwin Nunez, gentlemen. Who's picking this guy up come the summer? Who's going to fetch this player?
But you know, Claudia, I think we need to look at the valuation. I think the valuation's a bit overpriced.
50 mil.
No, it's 80 million euros.
Yeah, it translates what? 60 pounds?
68 million pounds.
That's how much you're going to pay for this guy.
It's too much for him, but listen, very, very great, very good striker.
But why is it too much for him, Celo?
He's 22. No, his link-up play is very poor. Very, very bad in terms of link-up play. But also depends on your system as a team. I think we need to always remember that as well. I think as football supporters, right? We need to sign players that are right for the system. I don't think he's the right player for Arsenal. Arsenal need a player with a good link up play. You know why? Because they've got very good touch players. You know, Arsenal's got very good touch players, but I think he'd do very well at a Newcastle. You know, Newcastle definitely. You know, as I said in the last show, guys, Newcastle signed Chris Wood to destabilize Burnley, not because they needed a striker. You know, they destabilized. They said, guys, we've got £25 million. What should we do with this money? Let's just go destabilize Burnley, because we look at Burnley as a team that actually can compete with us to get out. But yeah, I think. 80 million euros is a lot. I don't think it's worth 80. I think maybe he's closer to a 50 million euros, which is what
you're saying. What, 30 million pounds?
38 million pounds. 40 million pounds. That's 50 million euros, about 40 million pounds. 45. Let's say 45 million pounds, but not 68 million pounds. Not 68 million pounds.
But whatever it is, it's small change. It's more small change for us, Bruce, so it doesn't really matter.
But you have to...
there's your answer. What warrants the price tag? That's the price tag there. Saudi money. That's the price tag.
But you have to contend with financial fair play.
For the first 3 years, we can spend up to 800 million pounds and we'll still be fine.
What?
He's worked it out.
What financial fair play is that?
He's secretly the accountant there for Newcastle. He knows the numbers.
Because, Celo, you'll know this. The player's contract and fee is amortized over
the duration of the contract.
Yeah, so it's not worked out on the actual fee that's being paid immediately. So it's almost like the figure that is being spent is divided over the amount of years, and that's calculated into. So it works out to around 800 million pounds. But they won't spend that much, guys.
But that's why Juventus is being investigated for some of the deals that they've done. Yeah. So they did, for instance, they did swap deals, but they didn't do a swap deal. They bought Arthur and then they sold Pjanic to Barca. Then they sold Cancelo and they bought Danilo. So what they did was they kind of almost cooked their books by doing those deals for players that probably, I don't know, do they really want or whatever? Cool, some of them are playing. But then you just buy him for a certain amount of time, 5 years, you amortize it over 5 years, you kind of rebalance your books and then you sort it. You know what I mean? So
I think also I think also from our perspective, Mike Ashley ran a tight business where he didn't want his business to be in the red. So we actually
he wanted to sell it at some point.
Yeah. So we didn't have debt. So that puts us at a head start already. So like, for example, if you're looking at some teams that have debt, you know, then you're in a bit of trouble then.
Well, Nick, exciting times on that point. If they're starting on a good, on a green foot rather. The green foot. You got Shoro saying Haaland to Newcastle. I mean, we know
Haaland will come to Arsenal.
But your boy Fabio is saying he's moving to Man City. They're saying that's pretty much it's there. It's just up to him to make the decision. But I mean, the sky's the limit in terms of Saudi and Newcastle. Who's the? I mean, this is what we're saying here in terms of the price tag. Shorter. When we look at a player like this, I know the Portuguese league tends to be undermined, but this is a player that was highly recommended by Suarez. Told Barcelona to buy him, they didn't buy him. He's gone there. Celo's talking about link-up play, but when you take Newcastle in consideration, signing Chris Wood for what they signed, this player plays well off the shoulder. He makes runs in behind. And he scores every time he hits the target. He's a great finisher. So that's where you could say, okay, maybe it's a little bit pricey, but he is 22 years old. So you might get the return on investment if you're going to sell this player like 5 years down the line if he performs the way he should perform. So, I mean, say you buy him for what is it, 60 million, 60 million pounds? You could sell him for 120 there, Celo? No? You're the finance guy.
Guys, now sometimes these things, guys, I think, so. Yeah, but hey, guys, at the end of the day, I think football players, they are priced by their clubs because they value them at a certain price. And I think Benfica historically has done very well to sell players to other leagues and so on. You know, they've made good profits and they also need the money.
Good players too.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, the Benfica's always had good players that they've sold to other leagues. You know, your Matic's, your David Luiz's, your Ramirez's of this world. You know what I mean? Just three players that I can think of off the top of my head. You know, Oblak.
Didn't Joao Felix come from
Oblak used to play for the João Felix as well, Witzel, you know what I mean, Edison as well, you know.
So Nat Sanchez, João Mario, the list goes.
So it's a premium boy.
Bernardo Silva. It's a lot of players.
You're shopping at the creme de la creme, my friend.
The stepping stone club.
Exactly, yep. It's a stepping stone club. It's the stepping stone club. It's the Arsenal of Portugal.
I wouldn't say that. But yeah, I agree with Celo. That's Benfica's model to bring up the players. So it's what they do. It's what they probably wanted. They knew that this time was coming for this guy. And it's not like, you know, people are coming out here and it's not like someone came and asked. I'm pretty sure they knew already. Someone comes, this is how much you're putting on the table because they want someone to come. And they're happy that this business is happening. And they want the guy, and they're probably happy for him to go. That's how Benfica operate.
That's how they've been operating. And I mean, like I said, the president, current president, is under house arrest because he's been frauding the whole situation. So he's been there for a while, and maybe with Rui Costa coming in, I mean, to Shorter's point, they have no ambition. So maybe with the legend of Rui Costa coming in, maybe they might change it. Maybe they're going to come in and say they want to be more competitive as opposed to selling their best players. But at the end of the day, if you're going to get that money, £60 million, £70 million for a player, they're going to take it all day of the week because in Portugal, that goes a long way. It goes a long, long way.
It goes a long way, and then they're going to go scout in Brazil again. And sign some gems from Brazil. You know what I mean? You know they've always signed the some great Brazilian players. You know that have come into their team and they've sold them on to other teams for great bargains. You know, So I think it's probably a better statement than Arsenal because I heard Wanga's feelings.
But I don't agree with you in terms of what Shura said that they have no ambition. I don't agree with that one.
Last night. Yep.
Yeah. Look, I mean, they're the best team in the league, in the Portuguese league, and they can give off players.
No, Claudio.
They're third, but they've had trouble this season.
This season. You know, and I think the previous season was Sporting. And they finished second, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Yeah, but they're always at the top. They're always at the top, and they've been dominating for long. And they can do this while giving off players, you know. So I think that's their model, and it works. And I think they're doing it very well, to be honest with you.
Claudia, I missed this message from a Real Madrid mate of mine. He's watching the show. He said, not kings of Europe, owners of Europe.
You see, that's what I'm talking owners. About. I knew they were going to say owners. Something like that. Owners. That's what I mean when I say the trophy is in their lounge. That's what they owners. Feel like. They believe, owners. Like, when they're having dinner, the trophy is staring at them and they're greeting it. That's what they think, I think, the Real Madrid fans. But just to bring it back to the, not the Farmers League, shorter. Come on, put some respect in the Portuguese League there, my friend. Okay, cool. The Liverpool-Benfica game, just to wrap this up, what was the good thing? Because we're going to move straight from this game to the semi-final for the FA Cup on the weekend. But what is beneficial here, gentlemen, for this game, for Liverpool in particular? Nick, tell me, what did you think about this?
Beneficial? There's nothing beneficial.
There was something really good for this game for Liverpool, yeah.
Oh, Bobby Firmino.
That's a plus. There we go. So this isn't a test. I'm trying to understand.
I don't know. I didn't watch the game. I watched the other one.
Celo's out of this. You out, Celo. Nick.
They still haven't lost at home, I think, for a long time.
Nick's know. Out. Wonga Dinga.
Didn't Van Dijk bench or something?
Yeah, though. Now we're getting warmer, Celo. We're getting warmer.
I don't know. Someone said something about Van Dijk. I don't know, guys. Tell me. Didn't
Chance.
Van Dijk
win? We got three goals. That was pretty efficient. I'm trying to think.
But Van Dijk start or what? I don't know.
You can see no one watched the game. No, they got to rest players for this game. They got to swap out players.
But I was still right. Claudio, you still haven't lost at home in like 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's always beneficial.
Oh, Tsimikas and Joe Gomez started. Oh, we don't know these things, Claudio.
They played James Milner. Your boy James Milner played. So if he plays against Man City, there we go. You see, we got Arjun joining us. Jens saying Nunes is crazy. There we go. You see? And then, obviously, one more thing by Cheryl saying, exactly, Shoro. Thank you, sir. You see, Shoro knows what's going on here, gents. Today is on fire. Watch, since they didn't start, they didn't play their strongest players. So now let's move into this.
We don't watch, matchups. We don't watch small matchups.
But okay, small matchups. Okay. Yes, quarterfinal. We're going semifinal. Small matchup. But let's go to the bigger one here. Gentlemen, this FA Cup semifinal, Man City versus Liverpool. Take two. You guys said it was a soft rivalry. This is part two now. This is a big one. Pep Guardiola saying,
world football.
Softest rivalry in world football. At least we involved.
Man City had a better preparation for it. I can't lie.
They've had better preparation. That's interesting.
They just played Atletico. They just played Atletico now.
Yeah, but is that no more taxing on the body?
It is. It's very taxing. It's an emotional roller coaster.
When they playing on Sunday?
Yeah, on Sunday. Saturday. Easter Sunday. Yeah,
Saturday, isn't it?
No, there was a big complaint about the fact that there's no transport on Easter Sunday. Why don't they just move the match to Old Trafford? Because it's closer to Merseyside and obviously Man City. Because traveling to London is going to be a mission because there's no.
But they never. They move it.
There's no trains. There's no. Yeah, then they didn't move
they
it.
Didn't,
yeah,
but
no,
they didn't move it. Yeah.
There's no trains. Yeah, so Sunday is going to be a headache for them to move to. Oh, they did move it. I think. Eh. Oh, they moved it.
They moved it. They're playing Saturday.
Yeah, they moved it to Saturday. Yeah, they swapped it around. Yeah, they swapped it around, guys. Yeah, because it was supposed to be on Sunday, and there was a big complaint.
Because then the Sunday is just two London teams, so...
Yeah, Sunday's London team, so it's closer to home, yeah. So they swapped it, yeah. They definitely swapped it.
So 3 days is tactic. I think they have a preparation. I think Man City will be more up for it than Liverpool.
That's interesting. Okay, well, Jason's saying to what Nick was saying, you could see their friends saying Liverpool's already secured the Champions League final, but now they need to secure the FA Cup final. Short of saying they are calling it the new El Clasico. You weren't here, Nick, on Tuesday, and we spoke about this rivalry. You've already heard Celo saying it's soft. What do you think about this rivalry in terms of the Liverpool-Man City head-to-head Pep?
You guys heard this on TalkSport, eh?
No,
how the topic came up because I was speaking about that last week, building up to the game.
I read Jimmy Carragher's headline from his Telegraph.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Column.
No, so I think maybe that's why they started speaking about it. But whether or not it is, you know, I think in terms of a pure footballing perspective, it's a massive rivalry because they're two of the best teams that have been in the Premier League's history. But, you know, it's all determined on how you define a rivalry. So if there's a bit of history going and backdating, you know, you'd say Man United and Leeds are probably a bigger rival.
Wanga got cut there. You got cut, Chief. You thought the Arsenal was going to come in there, but he hit Leeds out.
No, listen, Man United and Liverpool's obviously a notable one. Man United and Arsenal was big. You know, there was a time when Liverpool and Newcastle in the 90s was a big rivalry. So it's all determined. I think if you're basing it on the now, you know, there is no bigger rivalry in English football. However, I think if you look at the history, probably not. Guys, the Premier League about era. Now. We're not speaking about history.
But wait.
You said the Premier League era. You said the Premier League
era. But Nick spoke about Talk Sport, but I think he was listening to Goal Lounge, even though it was subconsciously he heard what I had to say a little bit there. But Nick, if you had to judge it by your own metric right now, where would you put it?
I think it's a new rivalry. It's a new rivalry. And, you know, that might change because there's quite a few.
I was saying to Claudia that it still needs to grow some legs.
He means some legs so they can kick legs.
That atmosphere for that game was incredible. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I watched it on Sunday. It was that was a game.
Up and down. Like, yeah, back and forth.
You know, I don't think it's got the history, and I don't think the fans have the animosity towards each other. So maybe that's why it's not probably deemed a rivalry,
yes,
per se, you know, according to maybe the local fans. But maybe for international fans and spectators it is. But I don't think Liverpool and Man City fans hate each other like Liverpool and Man United fans hate each other, or Man United and Man City fans hate each other, for example.
Yeah.
And that's a fair point, because Arjun's saying here, most people don't give a shit about City. So that's why it's also not the New York Classical. Maybe that's the thing. They're still going to build their heritage within the league. Selo, I just want to talk about the fact, Wonga says that game against Atletico is beneficial for Man City. What are your thoughts leading up to the semi-final?
Nah, I think Liverpool are in a better position for the semi-final. Just merely because, you know, I think how the league game went, which obviously it was a draw. I think Liverpool are definitely within a shout with this one. I think I'm not saying that you guys are resigned to the fact that you'll lose the league. Yes, you're still hopeful that you'll win the league, but I think if you're being honest with yourselves, I think the League Cup secured. And then the FA Cup and the Champions League, I think those two, you guys have a more realistic opportunity of actually winning those two as opposed to the Premier League. Because it's cup football, it's once-offs. In the Premier League, you still have to play Tottenham, you still have to play Manchester United, Everton. You know what I mean? Three games that, yes, you guys should win, but also you guys, you know how football is. Something could happen, you know. Everton can summon the spirits of was it last season when they beat you guys at Anfield? Whenever they beat you guys at Anfield, they can summon the spirit of that time. You know, Man United, for instance, can say, "Okay, cool guys, this is our Champions League final for this season, and let's just beat Liverpool, so our fans can be happy." And then that's it. Man United can lose all the games, but just beat Liverpool. You know what I mean? And you know, Conte is a good manager, so Conte can obviously outfox any manager in the Premier League.
I think it's interesting that you say that, because Nick said the inverse. He said Liverpool for the league and then Man City for the Champions League. That's an interesting one. Arjun's saying Man City opened an academy in Indonesia and his sister school. Only 5 people joined because no one gave a shit about Man City. That's quite interesting. Excellent. Right, gents. We're gonna move on to the sort of... Oh, we've got one more semi-final. Sorry, I'm neglecting Chelsea, who did perform well against a respectable sort of performance against Real Madrid. Chelsea, Crystal Palace, gentlemen, what do you think is going to happen, Wanga Denga?
Yeah, Vieira is going to go for this one. They pumped Arsenal, but even though Arsenal, I think, also not there on the day. But I think, yeah, look, I mean, Chelsea also have had not a good run of form lately, to be honest with you. They came back against Southampton, but Southampton also got that in them in every season. not able to secure it against Madrid. I don't know, because probably dealing with emotions as well in that Chelsea team. But Vieira, not going to be worried about that. He's going to gun for this. And I think even if you listen to the I think after, it was after they beat Arsenal. The guy in studio asked Vieira, I mean, how he felt about it the way he is now, because of he was telling him that he was probably they were actually, he actually told him face to face, I mean, that he was gunned to be relegated, Crystal Palace not expected to be where they are. He told him all the odds that were against him in the beginning of the season and how he's overcome them, you know, and this is where he is. And now they've also got a semi final against Chelsea. So I think the team is on a high, to be honest with you. And I think Chelsea could be surprised in the day. And I think they also are beatable now. They're not like they were beginning of the season, where I used to say that they were, I mean, that back four locking everything, but now they can be beaten. And I think Crystal Palace has what it takes, has what it takes to beat Chelsea.
Nick, do you think Chelsea are as fragile as Wonga's saying?
I think the wheels sort of fell off for Chelsea this season. I think winning against Southampton and a good performance against Real Madrid could potentially set them up for a good end to the season. I think it's key for them, especially going into next season, that they do finish on a good note. So it's an opportunity to win another trophy. They had a great season last season, winning the Champions League. You know, I don't think it will be a failure if you finish third and win the FA Cup. Just a wake-up call to say, listen, you know, we still want something.
Nick, I don't know what Wonga does. He always waits for you to speak, and then Wonga plays around with his mic. I don't know what's going on there, bro.
He's left the show, guys. Look at him.
He's had enough of you. He's like, I don't like sharing screen time with Nick, so he just dips out. All right, let's go, Nick. Continue.
Yeah, no, I think they need to finish the season strong. I think they will. But it's not going to be easy because this is a great opportunity for Crystal Palace to get into Europe. They get to a final, I think. You know, they've got another free hit at potentially making the Europa League. So why not? Why not give it a good go?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I think, guys, I want Palace to win the FA Cup, honestly. I think just merely because other teams that would win the FA Cup, then their fans would be in my ears about, you know, them winning the FA Cup. You know, I know Claudio would be screaming from the rooftops. So I'd rather have Palace win it so that we can say Palace is the biggest team in London this season. Wonga's gonna hate that, but yeah, they'll be the biggest team in London because they would have some silverware.
It would be the truth.
They've owned Arsenal, so they would be bigger than Arsenal, definitely. So Palace for the win.
Palace for the win. So what? But wait, everyone, did you make it? As we didn't talk about who you think is gonna win Man City Liverpool. Quick fire, Wonga.
Man City.
Nick.
2-1.
Liverpool.
Oh, nice. Okay, I like that. So Crystal Palace Liverpool final. I'll go with that. Now Premier League time, gentlemen. Spurs versus Brighton. We've got to talk about this largely because it's top four, and we can say Spurs are the favourites there. Wonga, you got something else to say about this? But Spurs are the favourites for top four now, surely.
Guys, Spurs are going to disappoint you. Ask Maddie, he knows this. So he's not sure.
But Wonga, Arsenal will disappoint you. We deal with two disappointing teams.
Let's talk about Spurs. Someone who knows.
You guys are sure that Arsenal disappoint, but not about Spurs.
Do you think they're going to be disappointed there?
Who?
Do you think Spurs are going to be disappointed, Jeff, about this top four campaign?
This top four flipping running has made me dizzy. No one wants it, so I wouldn't be surprised if they go and drop points. And then, you know, you might find Spurs drop points and Arsenal drop points. And it's just a mess. But I do think Spurs are hitting their straps at the right time. And I do think they will win this game. But I still think there's a couple of twists and turns before the end. I think it's going to go down to the last game of the season. And you probably have like maybe two or three teams still able to get into that top four.
Imagine that, last game of the season, title still up for grabs, top four still up for grabs, and relegation up for grabs.
Yeah, it'll be crazy.
Not that you want to be grabbing.
Nah, I doubt, I doubt relegation will still be up for grabs, guys. I think, yeah, let's see. But let's see. I doubt. But,
yeah, I you think, were supposed to send Flip and Everton down, but Cello doesn't want to beat Flip and Frank Lampard.
No, we want to. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to do anything, man. We don't want to do anything. We just want to. We just want to beat Liverpool this season. That's
they
all.
Want
guys.
The season
last
to,
game.
To end. You want the season to end now.
We just want to beat Liverpool next week Tuesday. That's all, and then we're done.
I'm not gonna lie, Cello. I was thinking about. If I was in the situation that you're in, and logic, because I know the situation, and Nick knows it very well, you get to like seven games left of the season, and you've got absolutely nothing to look forward to. And then you've got the break that comes in, so that's more football where there's no football. And then, hey, it's tough, Nigel. It's at least Wonga's sitting, he's smiling.
Wonga's happy, guys. Wonga watches games. Me, I just find
out. Nick's happy as well because he's looking forward to the summer.
Exactly. Yes. So guys. Only thing that's gotten me excited is obviously the Erik ten Hag news that have come about. So let's see if what happens there. But the Dutch Cup final I think is this weekend. So we'll see what happens. Let's see Dutch Cup final. Let's see. I think it's this weekend. It's Ajax versus on Sunday. Ajax versus PSV in the final. So let's see what happens there in terms of Ajax doing well. But yeah.
Well, I mean, we are talking about Man United, so let's see what do you think is going to happen here at home, Old Trafford versus Norwich, fighting for things there. He's laughing, Cello. He's laughing. Cello. This guy's cheeky.
I've been in this position. Norwich need points. Unless they've given up, they're going to see Man United as a team that can get points.
They won last week, Norwich, eh?
Did they?
Yeah, they beat Burnley.
Late. They're going to look at the two guys. Look, they're going to circle there on the board, Maguire. And the guys, weakness right there. They're going to gun for it. They're definitely planning to gun for this. They're not going to hold it. They're going to try to take 3 points when they go to Old Trafford Cup this weekend. Because of the run that Man United are on. I mean, it's an injured Buffalo. You kill it. You kill it. You kill it.
Kill an injured Buffalo. How do you kill it, Wonga? How are they going to kill it?
Look, Norwich, they're going to be fighting here. This is what these teams do at the end of the season. They fight. They're fighting for their livelihoods. They're fighting for next season. You know, all those things. You know, they'll try. I don't think they'll stay, but
yeah,
this is where they can get points.
They're on 21 points. Yeah.
Yeah. This is where they can get points. Why not? Why not to something for Man United?
Sorry,
I said 1-0.
1-0. Nick, finish your thoughts.
To Norwich.
I think Man United will win. But it's interesting to see what Ronaldo does. What's the recipe he gets there for? Why is he fighting with your fans? You know? Come on. What's going on there in Man United?
Not even gonna shuck up punched our fans, eh?
Yeah. I saw the lighty there did his lighty played in a tournament for Man United there. You should maybe play him.
He did the celebration, yeah. I watched the video earlier on today, yeah. But apparently he's not even the best player in the team. He's just obviously the most hyped up player in the team. Yeah. There's three kids in the team that are better than him. I saw Rooney's son also scoring a nice goal, but he's a lefty. Kai's a nice lefty.
Ah, he's done. Curler. He's made it.
Top bids, he's made it. Listen to Wonga. If you left footed, he's made it.
Rooney's son, and he's left footed. Ah, he's done. He's sorted, Oaks. Sorted.
But do you think one of Rooney's boys will become a professional? A good professional?
I think so.
Yeah, he'll be a professional, but it never works out that they're better than the father.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Jordy Cruyff. That's
Paolo Maldini is better than his dad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Paolo Maldini is better than his dad. His son is a midfielder, which is outliers. That's fair. That's fair. Outliers.
Okay, wait. Score prediction there, Nick. We're Man United Norwich.
It's such a meh game. It's like.
Yeah, but you're still going to. You're putting money now. If you're putting money on this game, what would you say?
It's like a boring 2-0. Win for Man United.
Cello?
Yeah, I know. We need some goals, man. 3-0.
Hey, I wouldn't say that much. Silo, take it easy. Take it easy, son.
But this is the kind of game, though. This is the kind of game where Ronaldo scores 3 goals and everyone's like, hey, Ronaldo still got it. Everyone, life is happy. So Silo's not wrong there.
Kumbaya, kumbaya.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Wangadenga, take the wheel here, sir. Let's see. Southampton versus...
Guys, you look, see this team, Southampton, it's gonna pull an upset here. It's not going to lose.
That's the problem with Southampton.
They don't lose the next game.
That's what I'm saying. Southampton, I've seen they play well at times, and then they go and they lose six, and then when they lose six, it's like, hey guys, no, we can't be losing six at our home here. You can't be doing that. No. They'll sort it out. They'll fix it. And guess what? Now Arsenal have to be the ones to be right there when they're fixing things, yeah. But Arsenal also not in a good run of form as well. I think we've lost our last two games. Coming off a good run of form, I think we also need to pick up things, especially if you want to get into a top four. This is probably a must-win game, just as much as Tottenham's one is. But again, it's going to be difficult to play away.
Shaka at left back, no?
Yes. No. See, you can't do things like that.
Be Wonga Shaka at left back?
I would have liked to hear Nick's comment on that one. Nick, I know Tavares had a poor game against Liverpool, but to take him out and then play someone that's not a left back in that position and is also slow. And you know Brighton's got speed on the wing, you know, and you go play a Shaka in that position. Would you have done something like that, Nick? Let me ask you that. Would you not play Tavares to give him another chance?
Yeah, I think if you look at it, it's not uncommon to see a coach move over a central midfielder who maybe a coach trusts and may be comfortable on the ball into a fullback position. Pep did it with... he actually did the inverse, sorry. He did it with Lam. He made a... Was it Flam? It was Lam.
Yeah, right back. Yes. To
moved
back.
Him from right back into... Or he moved... I think he played in the middle of the park a few
yes.
times.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right, yeah, right back to centre mid. Sorry, I mean, that's what
yeah,
I meant.
Yeah,
that's,
so
that's Philip Lam.
I think also, like, you know, maybe Wonga, I can't speak for your team, bro. But I do think he probably felt that was the best option. You know, maybe someone...
Madness. I think Wonga's it was madness.
Looking for something to be his idea.
I think it was madness. No, genuine. Like, I genuinely think it was madness. I think Tavares is I don't think he's...
Is that what you said?
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm hearing that.
I thought you said Vieira in. Did you guys not hear Vieira in?
With Ray Parler as his assistant to it.
Yeah, and look at Vieira putting trust in the players. Maybe there would have been something like that. But yeah, look, I think even the next, you know, it's done. That's the worst thing. It's done. I don't know how that's going to affect Tavares now. But I think the best thing would have been to play Tavares in the next game. Allow him to correct the mistakes he's made, because Shaka's also made many mistakes in his playing career, you know, and many mistakes that would actually that murdered our team. So that's why I was surprised with, I mean, that decision. I mean, to take out Tavares like that, you know, put him in and then take him out like that when he wasn't even expected to play.
You don't have time now to correct mistakes like...
But playing Shaka!
No, I understand. So... You get one of two things.
Shaka.
You get one of two things.
Don't, that's your namesake, man. Come on.
He makes a change because he thinks it's going to work. He feels that the man at the moment can't play left back, so he's going to go with his gut. If it works, then he's a genius. If it doesn't work, then you blame him, and then maybe you think he's just panicked. He's a knee-jerk.
Yeah, look,
he's made a knee-jerk reaction. But
I think he's tried it before. No, the thing is, if I look at Arsenal, he's tried that before.
Whoa. Sorry. That's just in.
But yeah.
Okay, yes, no. So apparently there's been some scope creep. Wonga's rants is carried over from Tuesday to Thursday. Nick, we're just going to move over and get your score prediction. We got Arjun saying 3-0 Southampton. Arsenal going to get slapped. What do you think score prediction here?
I don't think
it's going to be a 2-1 win for Arsenal. I need Southampton to lose because I win and then I get closer to that top 10.
And we're going to do that, Nick. It's going to be a 2-0 to Arsenal.
Wow.
I'm going to do that.
I said it's going to be a draw. A 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Yeah, I see Arsenal dropping points, gents. Southampton, when they want to play, they can play. So I'm going to say 2-2 draw. There we go. We're going to move to the final game that we're going to be covering this weekend. Wanga, you've been kicking us off here. Yeah, shake those shoulders. Because it's time. It's Newcastle hosting at home Leicester City. Somewhat of a soft underbelly.
I said this. I said to everyone, Newcastle will score. And against Leicester City, I'm telling you, they're probably putting two in the back of the net if Leicester are not careful.
Let's put some money on it.
Leicester City will concede
from a corner.
Yeah, Newcastle will win this, guys. We don't lose at home at the moment, eh? That atmosphere at home. And all our games, like in the next couple, our next couple of games are at home. So I think we win this game. I think we were unlucky not to score a few more against Wolves. Got the penalty rightfully so. So I don't, and then Wolves are hard to beat, guys.
Hard to score against.
I think this is a win for us. Leicester have had a very, very strange season. I think since that Brendan Rodgers talk to Man United, it's just been a little bit sour for them, unfortunately.
You're right.
And we're close to them. We're very close to them. So we win. That's I think we close the gap. I don't know if you guys have the log there, but I think we close the gap by like
3 points.
2 points or 3 points. So,
3 points.
Then we've got Palace. Hopefully Palace can win, get to a final, and then have a bit of a hangover next week. So yeah, I think we've got this.
Leicester's headed to extra time. Yeah, Leicester's playing the Conference League right now. It's 1-1 against PSV Eindhoven.
PSV was a jam.
Yeah, so but I think
PSV Eindhoven.
Yeah, they're playing against Leicester in the Conference League.
Is it the first leg?
Second leg. It's 1-1.
Second now, yeah.
It's 1-1 currently, so it's going to go to extra time because there's no away goals. So it's going to go to extra time and the Conference League quarters. So they're there. Who else is there?
I didn't know PSV were in that. They obviously dropped out of the Europa.
They dropped out of the Europa together with Leicester. Yeah, but I think this game, guys, we've all said it, guys. Newcastle at home is it's a great team. You know, they steamroll teams. They impose themselves. That atmosphere is strong. It's electric. You know, and players, I think they also want to put their best foot forward for the upcoming season, so they can still be in consideration for in terms of Eddie Howe when he thinks about which players to keep and which players to let go of. So I think Newcastle are continuously playing for something, even though I think they say from relegation. I think we always talk about 40-point targets, so they just need 6 more points to get to 40 points. But even after the 40 points, Newcastle will still be playing towards next season and that whole thing. Yeah, playing with the players, players are going to try and play for contracts. You know, play for extensions with those who are about to leave. Obviously there's already talks about signing certain goalkeepers or whatever. You know, signing Sanchez from Brighton. So already Dubravka is like, oh fuck, they might sign someone else.
Need to play,
let me keep a clean sheet. Let me start passing out from the back, you know, type of thing. So I think,
huge for us as well is Kieran Trippier might be in contention to come back, which will be huge because he's also, you know, he's a natural leader on that field and he's just got so much quality. You know, he finds passes that other players in our team can't do because they're not good enough to. I think that will be great for him to end the season off on a good note and also fight for a place in England's lineup come the World Cup.
Yeah, I think score prediction, I think Newcastle win it 3-1.
Hey, 3-1. Thanks.
Okay, so everyone here is saying a Newcastle victory. Yeah, I think that's the first time we've had that, Nick.
Yeah,
I think 2-1 to Newcastle.
Yeah, I'll take I think that's a fair shout. I think Vardy will score. And is Vardy playing? I think he is playing at the moment.
Could even be 3-2. I think a lot of goals in this one, but Newcastle might just.
Nah, he's on the No, he's not playing. He's not playing. Not even on the bench.
Right.
Is he injured? I did.
Right, gentlemen.
But yeah, I think 2-1 for Newcastle.
Before we kick on to the final thoughts of the show, if you thought the Premier League was exciting and say your team's not in fighting for anything like a Man United, keep your eyes peeled for the bottom there, the bottom tag, the ticket at the bottom there for our Premier League, our Fantasy Premier League. Because look at the gap in points here for our top five. We've got someone here leading by the name of, sorry, the ticket's coming. Tick, 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 tick. Jeepers, now it's taking forever. Okay.
It has to end before it comes back.
I want to read.
Thanks. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Maiden Omzo there, 2,087 points in first place. Second place, Vitor da Silva with 244 points. Third place, B-Ball Man, 2,043. Enzo, 237. And then Patricio Francisco, 230. Look at this, gents. This is 7 games left to play. These gentlemen are in contention for a goal line shirt and then a case of Devil's Peak that Settle still needs to organize. Am I right, Settle?
That's 100% sure. That's 100% correct.
There we go. Right. And if you haven't liked, if you've watched this whole time and you haven't liked or subscribed, just do the right thing. And then it's time now. It is time. It is time. Final thoughts. Wonga Denga.
I don't know if. Oh, wait. Yeah. Final thoughts. Tottenham's going to disappoint you guys.
If I'm honest with you, I'd love to see this race. I'd love to see 3 teams vying for 1 position at the end of the season, top 4. And I think it's very likely because everyone in that top 4 race has proved that they've got a soft underbelly.
Third team? Is it Wolves?
West Ham.
It's West Ham. West
maybe,
Ham. Is that the
thing? Maybe a Man United. I was thinking Man United, but yeah, I don't want to give the man false.
That underbelly is non-existent.
If we win the next 2 games, then we can talk. If we win the next 2, then we can come back.
If you lose to Norwich,
beginning of the season, knowing he's playing Norwich, you'd be like, oh, what are you talking about? Obviously, we're going to win. But now he's not even sure, which is the funniest.
No, I have no confidence in my team, though.
But yeah, I think from my side, happy Easter to those who celebrate Easter. I think it's sort of a nice period to switch off for some of us and work for some of us. From my side and the Goal Lounge TV crew, enjoy it, guys. Be safe. Don't drink and drive.
Goodness me. Guys.
Yeah, no, I echo Nick's sentiments, guys. Yeah, enjoy the Easter weekend and all those who are also observing the month of Ramadan. Enjoy the month of Ramadan. And yeah, guys, let's be safe. And yeah, guys, let's see what happens this weekend in terms of the football. First time I'm watching a game in 2 weeks, so I'm excited for Saturday. No one must disturb me on Saturday, so yeah, let's see what happens.
Yo, we've got a latecomer, gentlemen. We've got Tabato saying Ralph is just like Ole Gunnar. He does not punish bad performances and breeds complacency. Fans cannot have confidence in Man United. Thank you. With that, I love that final thought. I'm going to claim that as my own. I'm just going to own that on behalf of Fresh Legs, on behalf of XP Arena, on behalf of Captain Selo Maguire. And why this is actually appropriate, not because of Harry Maguire, but because of Toby Maguire, the agent. Show me the money. He's our financial guy, Selo. There we go. You're taking ownership of that name. Thank you for joining us. Show us the money. You know how to end the show, gentlemen. 3, 2, 1.
Stop it.